Welcome to the Faith Church Podcast. On this podcast, Pastor Nicole Crank helps us understand that God's Word is still relevant and has all the wisdom and guidance to help us figure out the crazy ups and downs in life. If you want to hear practical and inspiring biblical teachings, be sure to subscribe so that you can hear the latest message every week. And wherever you're listening from today, we believe God is going to speak to you and bless your life. Here's Pastor Nicole with the message.
Thanks, Mom, whether you're in heaven or you're still here. Thanks for staying up. Thanks for worrying. Thanks for taking tone. Y'all ever give your mom tone? You know, I didn't realize I gave my mom tone until I had kids. And I always thought that, you know, once you got past toddlers and teens, like you had it made. Nobody's written the book on how to parent grown kids. And if you are parenting grown kids, it ain't easy. And if you are a grown kid and don't have grown kids, be nicer to your mom. And, you know, I think all the time, I'm like, oh my gosh, like, what am I doing? Am I failing? Like, I'm trying so hard. And you don't always feel it back from your kids. But then last night, Ashton, my 20-year-old daughter, said, Mom, I have a plan. And she went and she changed her clothes and she put on a dress. And she took me to a restaurant and it cost $100 and she paid with her own money. I got out my credit card to pay because I just knew if we were spending $100 on food, she can't afford this. And she said, Mom, what are you doing? I said, I'm gonna pay. She goes, it's Mother's Day. Then she bought me flowers from Target and wrote me a card this morning that made me cry. So I just wanna let you know, if you have a mom, reach out to her today because your little words of encouragement are gonna mean way more than you think. Because the story your mom is telling herself is, man, I really screwed them up. I hope they're gonna be okay. And the story that you tell yourself is so important. I'm gonna get rid of that. I hate crying. So happy Mother's Day, everybody. And I'm like, happy Mother's Day. All campuses, happy Mother's Day. Weldon, Ferguson, Florissant, RPC. And I want to talk to you about the story that we tell ourselves, because the story we tell ourselves is everything, right? Because the story I was telling myself yesterday, and I see moms wiping their eyes, so it is not just me. Thank you for being with me on this emotional mother's journey. Because the story I'm telling myself a lot is, like, I have really damaged my kids, and I hope they make it through it. Like, I probably owe them therapy. And the story that I get back is, wow, I guess I must have done something right. And I think a lot of us has done something right, but it's all predicated on the story that we tell ourselves. And so that's what I want to talk about today. I want to talk about our soul. I want to talk about the story of our soul, how some of our souls are wounded, and how the story that our soul tells is the story that we live. So the story we're telling ourselves is so important, because you can be in the exact same position and be a victim or a victor. And the whole circumstance didn't change. It's the exact same. It's just our mindset shift. We can live in the pain or we can live in God's promise. And today I want to try and get you, I want to reach down and meet you where your pain is. And I want to pull you up. And you're not going by yourself. We're going to pull everybody. Say pull, pull. We're going to pull you up. And we're going to pull you up to hearing God's promise. And we're going to change our story. Turn to your neighbor and say, today your story changes. So, I was preaching this week in New York, and so since I was getting on a plane to go to New York and Pastor David was finished with his work week, he's like, I'm getting on a plane, I'm going to Florida, I'm going to suck the love out of these grandbabies and send you a million FaceTimes that make you mad. So he gets on one plane, I get on another, and there were storms this week, there were delays, so it takes me like 7 hours to get to New York, and it takes him like 10 hours to get to Florida. Now, the story I am telling myself is, I never get any me time. During this 7 hours, I can read what I want. I can listen to what I want. I can do what I want. I have 7 hours to be with me. The story my husband is telling himself is, I don't like not flying direct. I don't like connecting flights. I got stuck here for 3 hours. I'm having to take care of a dog. I don't have anybody to talk to. This is terrible. Never put me on a connecting flight again. I said, honey, the only direct flight was at 7 a.m. You're not a morning person. And he's like, I don't care. I'll get up. I'm like, yeah, right. We'll see how that works.
So he was really upset about it because the story he was telling himself is, this is miserable and terrible. The story I was telling myself is, it's wonderful and it's gorgeous. And one of my favorite things to do, believe it or not, I like being on an airplane more than I like being at the beach. I know, it's weird, but I sweat at the beach and there's sand and stuff. And like on an airplane, they have snacks, air conditioning, and soda. Right? So I like airplanes. And I love to open up the window and look outside and wonder if that's what God sees of the earth. And so this was Thursday night, about 11 o'clock at night. I looked out my window and I took this picture. Now, this is not filtered. This is not, I didn't do anything with it. I'm like, what in the world is going on under there with that light coming up? Is that a city under there? And then do you see all these, is that a shooting star that's coming in? I didn't edit this at all. I put the phone up to the window and went, hit red button. And what I found out later, I found out last night that there were northern lights showing up. You know what? I didn't even know that was going to happen. But all that I knew that the story I was telling myself was, open the shade and look out the window. You're going to see something beautiful. And sure enough, when you believe that God is going to meet you with something beautiful, he exceeds your expectations. And I think I caught some northern lights in there. What's the story that you're telling yourself? Hey, sis, hey, but what's your story? Right? Because your answer to that question is so important. Because if your story is like, well, you're not going to believe what happened to me. Well, first of all, my mom and dad, they were born in two different zip codes. You know, I'm like, really? We're going all the way back here? Or you could say, you know, I've had a really hard week, but I've had God show up for me before, and I believe he hasn't stopped doing what he does, and I believe he's going to show up for me again. And this isn't a mess. It's a miracle in the making. It's all about how we tell our story. So on that same airplane, I look out the window, I see the thing, and the part I didn't tell you is I wasn't in a good story because it was a good story. I was delayed. I wasn't sure about my connections. And this guy in front of us, I don't know how much he had to drink for dinner, but I think it was a lot. And he was really upset about everything in the whole world. And he was telling the lady he didn't know about it that was across the aisle. So he was like, and this economy is terrible. I don't know what we're going to do. And even when we vote, we don't have anybody good to vote for. And like, I lost my job. My family just sucks. And this, and I was late on the airplane. I think they lost my luggage. You hate me already. So I just slipped in my little AirPods, turned on my little worship music, got in my happy place. And the guy next to me eventually taps me on the shoulder. And well, then he goes, excuse me, ma'am. And so I pull my AirPod out. I drop my AirPod. It goes into the seat. It's completely dark. I turn my light on. He's like, oh, sorry. And I'm like, hey, no worries. I'll find it. I end up ripping my seat out, like taking the whole cushion off. Your cushion is a flotation device. I pull it off. I find my AirPod. I pick it up. He's like, I didn't mean to do that. I'm like, no, bro. Like, I'm cool. Because the story I'm telling myself is, I love airplanes. So he's like, oh, okay. Well, I was just wondering, do you think I can say something to that guy? Okay, the fact that you asked me that loudly if you can say something to that guy, you're already saying something to that guy because he can hear you. I think what you're asking me in my head is if you can have a fist fight with that guy while I'm trapped between the fist fight and this little airplane window. And the answer is, oh no. So I told him, I said, you know, I think you probably could. I see where you're coming from. And I think I see where you're coming from. I know where you're going. But I don't know if you want to say something to him because I'm not sure how much liquid courage he had to drink for dinner tonight. So the guy starts laughing and I start laughing and we bring it back down. And I think, you know what? It's so important, the story that we tell ourselves, because the story that we tell ourselves, when we let God change our story, when we change our story and God changes our story, it allows us to change other people's story. And God's story starts leaking in us, and it starts leaking through us, and it starts leaking to others, and all of a sudden, we become catalysts to change our environment. Now, I just want to tell you, before I sound like a superhero, I also hung up on somebody this week. Right? The story I was telling myself right then was not a good story. So you can be like telling a good story, telling a bad story, telling a good story, telling a bad story. Can I get an amen, all campuses? Okay, so I want to talk about the story we tell ourselves, but first of all, we have to figure out what a soul is. So let's figure out what a soul is. Well, we're a three-part being. We are spirit. We are a spirit, the essence of who we are, the part of us that goes to heaven, the part of us connected of God, the part of us that is God. We are a recreated human spirit. Everybody say, I am a spirit. Now, we live in a body. Dun, dun, dun. You know, y'all were so great today because it's Mother's Day. You put on pants that had zippers. In my case, I put on a dress with double Spanx and a huge jacket. Right? We dressed up for Mother's Day. We did our thing with these bodies. You see, when God created us back in Genesis, it said he formed Adam. He took the dust of the earth and he created the animals. He took the dust of the earth and he formed the birds. He took the same dust of the earth and he formed Adam. And Adam was made of dirt. And women, this is why men are dirty. It is not their fault. Do not blame them. He made them with two X chromosomes. Now, when he got around to you, Mama, here's what he did. He used a verb that he only used once in creation, and that verb, kind of in the English language, means crafted. And you weren't crafted from the dust of the earth. Dust was already refined into man, and then he reached into man. And we in the English say rib, but we don't know what part God actually took out of Adam. I think maybe it was the X chromosome. Because the men have the X and the Y. He took it out. The girls have the X and the X. And the guys have been wondering what's wrong with us ever since then. And it's that we're missing a Y chromosome. And since we're missing the Y chromosome, we just walk around asking why all the time. Like, honey, why do you leave your underwear on the floor constantly? Like, the laundry basket is right here. And, honey, why don't you know how to load the dishwasher? Like, why? We're missing the Y. And so we just come out with a Y all the time. But, ladies, I want you to know, we make a choice to submit to our husbands. There's a 51 and a 49 in the marriage, and when we choose to enter a marriage, we chose the 49. But the thing is, we get to choose our 51. And so choose wisely. Don't be in a hurry to get married. And when we choose our 51, that does not mean that we are weaker. It does not mean we are lesser. Matter of fact, when man crafted woman, he used a name to describe her that he used to describe himself. God himself called him this word 14 different times, and he never called man this word, and this word is Ezer. Ezer. It's made of an E, a Z, and an R, and the E is I translated. The Z is man translated, and the R is weapon translated. What does that mean, Ferguson Florissant? Lady, that means that you are, this word translated out of the original language, you are a military-grade defense system. You are weaponry and eyes for your man. You are weaponry and eyes for your family. It means you are a mama bear, and it does not mean you are weak. It means you will stand up for your man and stand up for your family in a half a second. And devil, you bring it on, and you come to mama first, because I'm here to tell you, not today, Satan, not with my people. You're Ezer. That's your body. We're formed. And then God, he baraked, he breathed into the dust that was Adam. And when he baraked, he breathed, that's when Adam got his soul. We're spirit, body, and soul. What is our soul? It's our mind. It's where we think. It's our will. It's where we make decisions. It's our memories. It's our emotions. It's your think. It's your feel. It's your do. It's a part of you that goes to heaven because you get to think about those things that come to heaven. And how did we get that? When God breathed into Adam, he breathed in a soul, and we breathed in life. Everybody take a deep breath. All campuses, take a deep breath with me real quick. Go. And breathe out. Do you just feel yourself calming right away? I think there's some instinctual part of us that remembers when God connected to us through the breath. And I think that's why that breath calms our soul. So now that we've settled into our soul, what is the story that your soul is telling? Because every soul has a story. I know a lot of you guys know my story, so I don't want to bore you with it, but in case there's some new people here, I come from a history that wasn't real good. I was born in Canada. I was adopted in the U.S. when I was 3. I got to actually be the flower girl in my parents' wedding because they got married after I was here, right? Because not my biological dad. We didn't have a lot of money when I was a kid, and I want to drop a heavy word on you, okay? Can you put on your scuba gear with me and go down into this for just 1 second, and I'll pull you right back out. Is that okay? Right? I was molested when I was a kid, and I was raped, and I became a pregnant unwed mother at 17 years old. My soul has a story. And do you see even how it kind of feels in the room right now, kind of like the story that I'm telling feels heavy? We have to watch the story of our soul. Because the story of our soul, if we're not careful, the devil will use that as a setup to keep us down. And what happens is when we tell a sad story, we get in a sad state. And what happens then is we get depressed and we get anxious and we get stressed out and we don't even know why we feel so bad. We're just walking around in life and we're on the edge and we're angry easy and we don't know what the deal is. And the deal is we have a bad state, our mental state. So my first point is, out of four, and we're going to be out of here in 14 minutes and 54 seconds. Right? My first point is, if you want to change your state, if you want to change how you're feeling, if you want to change your state, you have to change your story. Well, Nicole, how do you change your story? Well, you know, the very thing that the enemy meant to be your tombstone can really be your stepping stone. The thing that the med devil meant to drown you with, you can really stand on and be on top of the water. And so I want to go back to the book of Ruth right now. So there's this woman, her name is Ruth. She has a mother-in-law, Naomi. And she has a sister-in-law, Orpah. Now, Naomi and Elimelech, they have two sons, Mahlon and Chilion, and the girls are married to those two boys. And what happens is, Naomi's husband passes. The father-in-law is gone. Then one of the sons passes, and the other son passes, and we have three widows. Now, the tradition back in the day is, if you are a widow and you marry into a family, girl, you better look at the brothers in that family, because you might have married the cute one with the six-pack abs, but he might have a brother with a good personality. Okay, and if you married the six-pack abs and he passed away, good personality gets to be your new husband. You get no choice in the matter. It's just the way it worked. It was the tradition back in the day. Well, Naomi didn't have any other sons, so now all of them were kind of stuck in widowhood. So the story that Naomi started telling herself, she got depressed, she got bitter, she got anxious, she got stressed out, and she said, here's the deal. I don't even want you to call me Naomi anymore. With everything that has happened to me in my life, I am changing my name to Mara because Naomi means pleasant and my life is not pleasant. Don't you dare call me pleasant. You call me bitter. Mara means bitter. When you call bitter, I'll come running. How many of you know she's in a bad state? Can I get an amen? She needs to change her story. Well, I mean, Ruth could very easily have the same story, and so could Orpah. So Naomi says to the girls, they're like, look, I'm not going to have any more sons. I'm just going to be here a widow by myself. So what I want you to do is you just go find new men. I release you from your obligation. Just go. Just go. Orpah's like, I don't want to leave you. Where's my phone? I just want to stay. I wonder if that boy, I still have his number. Are you sure? And she's like, no, you go. Orpah's like, okay, bye. Oh, yeah, I'm going to slide up in his DMs, girl. I'm getting hooked up. She just went on her very way. Then she looked at Ruth and she said, okay, just go ahead and go. Ruth said, you know, Naomi, I see a different story. I see a story where I stay with you. I see a story where your people are going to be my people and your God is going to be my God. And when I said friends forever, I meant friends forever. And I'm your ride or die, girl. You can't shake me. I'm like a bad rash. I am sticking with you as long as I can. So she told a different story and she had a different outlook, but she was in the same situation. To change your state, you have to change your story. You know, if God gives you a dream, no matter what happens, he's going to give you a way to bring it to pass. So Ruth goes on, and once Ruth started telling the story, I'm not leaving you, I'm coming, Naomi kind of started changing her story a little bit, and she said no more to Ruth. So if you want to change your state, you have to change your story. But to change your story, you have to change your statements. So if you have your Bible today, just go to Ruth 2 for 1 second. In Ruth 2, verse 2, if you don't have a Bible, don't freak out. We'll put it up on the screen for you, make it easy. And it says, one day Ruth the Moabite said to Naomi, to change your story, you got to change your statement. I want to let you know that your future lives in your mouth. Get this. Did you know in psychology, you don't listen to anybody any more than you listen to you. You believe what you say about you more than you believe what anybody else says about you. So Ruth says, okay, let me go to the fields and pick up leftover grain. Maybe somebody will be kind enough to let me gather the grain he leaves behind. To change your state, you have to change your story. To change your story, you have to change your statement. She said it, and y'all, it happened. She leaves the house. There's fields everywhere. She's like, oh, this one or this one or this one. Y'all, girls can't even pick shoes, more or less, a field. You know what I'm saying? So she's like, fields everywhere. She's like, I'll glean in this one. What does glean mean? Everybody's taking the harvest. She's finding a piece of corn over here and a piece of corn over here, and she's just getting the leftovers. Right? Well, while she's doing that, she said, maybe they will, what did she say? She said, maybe someone will be kind enough to gather the grain he leaves behind. Well, sure enough, the owner of the field comes by. He's like, boom, 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 boom. Who that lady? Oh, yeah, who's she? Tell me about that girl. And they said, oh, Boaz, that's Naomi's daughter-in-law, Ruth. He's like, what? That's Naomi's daughter-in-law? I'm related to Naomi. I could be a kinsman redeemer. What is kinsman redeemer? Remember how the brother gets to marry you? Well, if there's no brothers left, then it goes out to the cousins in them. And he's one of the cousins in them. And he's cute, and he's rich, and he's single. And she just happened to choose his field. And what does he say? Her statement, maybe they'll leave grain behind for me. He said, hey, y'all, don't do a good job harvesting. Leave her lots of grain so she wants to come back to this field because I want to get to know this girl. She had what she said. When you change your statements, you change your story. Well, give me some Bible for that. Okay, I want you to go to Mark 11, 23 and 24. Mark 11, 23 and 24, they'll put it on the screen. It says, whosoever shall say unto this mountain, whosoever shall what to the mountain, they shall. Whoever says unto the mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, he will have whatsoever he. Good, all campuses. He shall have whatsoever he says. You get what you say. Well, give me another scripture for that. Okay, Proverbs 18, 21. It says that death and life are in the power of the tongue, right? And I love the New Living Translation because here's the thing. A lot of times what we get to do is we get to say, like, well, look, that's my story, right? I'm just real. I just tell it the way it is. This is my story and I'm sticking to it. I can't change my story. I can't help that's what happened to me. Well, we can demand to tell our story that way, but look what happens. In the New Living Translation, it says, the tongue can bring death or life. To those who love to talk will reap the consequences. So maybe we want to say the right things, but we don't know what to say. So I brought a tool for you today. If you have a phone, get it out. I'm going to give you a QR code that gives you some declarations to say. Go ahead and put that screen. There you go. So these are 10 declarations that you can say over your life. They're written down. Declarations about protection, about freedom, about strength, about health, about healing, about your mind, about your moods, about your attitudes, about abundance, about finance, about using your words for good. Because what you say about you, your brain believes more than what anybody else says. So what are we saying over our story? If you don't know the statements to change your story, these are the statements, all campuses, to change your story. Because if you change your statement, you change your story. Because death and life are in the power of the tongues, and we are faith people. Turn to your neighbor and say, I'm a faith person. So to change your state, you change your story. To change your story, you change your statement. And to change your statement, you have to let God change your soul. Now, y'all, here's where it gets a little bit dicey. And it gets a little bit sensitive, right? Because the story of your soul determines the story that you live. And I know when I get out in the church lobby, so many people tell me about, I'm so glad you talked about what you went through because I went through the same thing and I didn't know what to do and I didn't know how to get out of it and I've been just carrying this thing around with me. And here's the thing about psychology. It says the longer you carry around an agonizing story, the longer it takes to heal after you tell it. We need to get these stories out. We need to turn these stories over to God because if you're a note taker, I want you to write this down. God is not obligated to heal a hurt that you don't give him. If you just hold it and you keep it and you stuff it, God's like, I can't do anything with that. I need you to at least open the door just a little bit and let me in and say, God, I don't even know how to say the words about what happened to me. Or maybe it's not something that happened to you. Maybe it's something that you did. Right? Maybe you were a drug user. Maybe you were a drug dealer. Maybe you accidentally committed manslaughter. Maybe you did something and you're like, I can't believe I did that. I can't believe I said that. As a mom, I've done that a million times, right? You tell your kids something and you go to your room and you're like, if my kids ever talked to me that way, I would blow them into next week. And you just talk to your own kids that way? No, I get it. But God is so forgiving. You see, God is the God who turns messes into miracles. He is the redeemer of the unrighteous. He is the one who takes beauty for ashes and the oil of joy for mourning. The blood of Jesus comes over your past and he washes it white as snow, no matter what happened to you or because of you. But we have to be able to go to Jesus with it. And to go to Jesus with it, that's our soul. Everybody say, that's my soul. That's our soul, right? And it says in Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. God is not going to leave you wanting peace. He's not going to leave you wanting joy. He's not going to leave you wanting to pay the rent. He's going to meet you in your place of need. It says, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside still waters. He restores my soul. That's what he does. He breathes into us, but we got to get. That's why I'm so glad you come to church. That's why I'm so glad that you're here. That's why you've got to be in a small group, no matter where you are. You have to get the right people around you to help you craft your story, to hear the pain in your heart and help you give it to God so that God can meet you in that place of pain. And he says, I'm not going to leave you where you hurt. I'm going to take that hurt and I'm going to heal it because I'm the great physician and I can give you a comfort that blows your mind. I can give you a peace that passes all understanding. He's an advocate. He's an intercessor. He's a standby. He's a gap filler. He's a way maker. He's a bridge builder. God is everything that we need. But we got to look at who we're listening to, especially when we hit rock bottom. Micah, would you come help me? Would you two come help me? You see, because what happens is the devil is a really good punk. I'm going to ask you to hold this side of this. I'm going to ask you all to come up here, and I'm going to just put you right here in the middle, if you don't mind, if you stand right here, and I'm going to put you on the other side of this. Now, you boys are going to have to spread out a little bit. You see, a lot of times we're trying to handle in the natural what God wants us to handle in the supernatural. Now, do you mind coming right about here? And I need your permission to play the devil in your life. Can I be mean to you for a minute? You know this is not me being mean to you. This is me pretending to be the devil being mean to you. Because I can already feel them pressuring me like they don't like me already. Guys, I'm playing the devil. I'm not the actual devil, okay? But here's the kind of stuff the devil says. Girl, you're not going to make it. Why do you even try? You know you failed. You don't deserve it. Oh, nobody knows what you've done, but you know. And you're not the only one who knows. I know. And guess what? Everybody else is going to know. And he pulls you back and you feel this tension pulling in your life, right? You just wonder, how far down are you going to take me? And he tells you personal things. You're ugly. You're stupid. You're rotten. And you're not worth it. Now, I don't mean any of those things. I'm playing the devil, right? Okay. I got to get you out of here. I can't even do it to you. You get out. You get out. You go. I'll just hold this. I just can't be that mean to be the devil to her. She is too sweet. But what happens is you get so far down and you get so pulled back and we get so caught up and the devil knows what to say. He tells me, you're damaged goods, girl. You were damaged from the time you were a baby. Why would any man want you? You're good for one thing. Single mama, life failed you, but you failed yourself. Whew. You just get caught in this trap. And he comes back for you again. I've got you. Ain't nothing gonna happen to you. That's gonna be good. Because people like you end up statistics. People like you end up alone. People like you, and he tells you all this thing. And he tells you things so far down that you start thinking, I think I'd rather be dead than listen to this. And he gives us these thoughts. And that's exactly where the enemy wants you to be. But when we get to that point, we have to remember, when you get to rock bottom, you need to remember that the rock at the bottom is Jesus, and he is our chief cornerstone, and he is our sure foundation. And once you get to the bottom, there is nowhere to go but up. And he says, for every time the enemy has pulled you back, I made you a promise in my word, and my word says the devil has to pay 7 times. He pushed you back, that's fine, because by the time I let you go, you're just going to go further, faster than you would have ever gone without. God's going to use the bad things in your life for good. Thank you so much. Did they do a great job? You guys did a great job. He uses the bad things in your life for good. You know, the very thing that I thought was going to be the end of me was really what God used as my platform. It's what I travel around the nation talking about. If God can use the foolish things of the world like me, then God can use you too. You know, it says in Psalm 103, there's only one way to get out of this thing. It says, bless the Lord, O my soul. Our statements, we have to bless the Lord. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, for he forgives all my iniquities. He heals all my diseases, and he redeems our life from destruction. We make the statements, but where does it really start? How do we give our soul to God? We need to give him an amen. We need to give him a hallelujah. We need to give him a shout. We need to give him a praise. We need to reach down in us when we have no reason in the natural. We have to stop handling in the natural. We have to handle it in the supernatural. And we need to say, Lord, you are good and your mercy endures forever. I'm not looking what happened to me. I'm looking at you happening for me. I'm looking at my future that you have for me, not the future the devil has for me. And I'm going to walk to that plan and to that purpose and not stop because the devil is a liar. Not today, Satan. God is on the throne and Jesus is alive. Does anybody have a shout for a good God? And when we can find that praise and give God our soul regardless, he helps us change our statement. It changes our story. It changes our state. And my last point as I close. When God changes our soul story, that changes the whole story. That changes our kids' story and our grandkids' story and our work story and our life story and our happiness story. And it changed Ruth's story because Ruth's story was different than Naomi's. Same circumstance, victim, victor. Ruth, Boaz comes in Ruth 2:11, and Boaz answers and said, I've heard all about what you've done for your mother-in-law since the death of your husband. I know your story. Don't you dare put a period where God put a comma. This is not the end of your story. This might be just the end of a chapter, but it's not the end of the book. God is the author and the finisher of your faith. But know this, he's not writing the story for you. I like to write books. And I know a lot of people who write books and they get the help of something called a ghostwriter. That means they give them the points and they give them the statements and the ghostwriter actually takes the pen and weaves it together. I want to let you know that God has made you the ghostwriter of your story. And he's like, here is the promise and here is my end and here is my plan and here is my purpose. Now I'm giving you the pen. Write the story. And the way it worked out for me, I don't deserve to be here. I don't deserve to be on this platform, but God doesn't give us what we deserve. He gives us what he deserves. The way it worked out for Ruth, Ruth got married to Boaz. She has a baby. His name is Obed. Obed gets married and has a baby. His name is Jesse. Jesse gets married and has a baby. His name is David. He became king. And then David, generations later in the line of David, there's this guy in the line of, what was his name? Hold on. Oh, Jesus. Ruth ends up in the bloodline of Jesus. God has big plans for you. They are for good and not for evil, to bring you to an expected end. So with every head bowed and every eye closed, no matter what campus you're on today, if there's a story in your heart that has some hurt and you want me to pray over it so God can change your story, change your state, and change your whole story, would you raise your hand so I know who I'm praying with today? I see so many hands everywhere. I see you. I see you. Say it in chat. Just say me. And this prayer is for you right now. Father God, in the name of Jesus, why? Why are you so good to us? That you would leave heaven and come down here and be with us and never leave us and never forsake us. But you just do. You love us that much. The amount that we love our kids is nothing compared to how much you love us. And you are here for us and you are here with us. And God, you are a story changer and a way maker. So God, I ask you right now to make a way where there is no way. I ask not just for change, but for redemption. And I don't ask just for change, but for restoration. I don't ask just for change, but for grace and mercy to come in abundance with the strength to walk out the future that you have for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
and amen. Was that all right for today? Happy Mother's Day. I think you'll like this.